Veneman, the modern chewing gum laxative, presents fun facts and fun page features in the original radio show of its kind. The fascinating game.
Now then, double or nothing.
Music by Brusilov. Announcing Aloys Habrilla. Salute to Victory Garden Harbor shows. Guest contestant Meyer Davis. And awarding United States War Stamp for Veneman, the originator of Double or Nothing, Walter Compton.
Greetings, everyone. Tonight, Double or Nothing fires a bucolic broadside to the thousands of American men and women gardening for victory. On hand to tell us about this war-minded rustic revival is Richardson Wright, national chairman of Victory Garden Harvest Shows, and two prominent horticulture editors, J.W. Johnston of the New York Herald Tribune and his wife Jean of the Philadelphia Record. Our quiz personality parade includes a square dance squire, a United States Navy editor, and one of the country's most prolific purveyors of dance music. So, Aloys Avrilla, pitchfork over the first contestant in our radio rodeo, and let's call a spade a spade.
Okay, Walter, in City Slicker Brusilov's music cue rings on the farmer's idea of a jitterbug. The man who calls the square dances at the Village Barn, New York City's countrified nightclub, Pappy Below.
Howdy, partners, one and all. Off to the left, around the hall.
All right.
And you get paid for that?
Well, not for just that. I do more than that.
What else do you do?
Well, I'd yell a couple more words, and then they run around the room and trip over each other.
I didn't hear it all. Do it again.
What? Honor your partners, one and all, off the left, around the hall. Now they're going around the hall.
Now yell a good loud one.
Halfway around, halfway back, don't go away.
Oh, yes! All right, okay there, thank you. Right. Here's your question. Comes from Mrs. Jenny Boasso of San Francisco, California. I get $5 for sending it in.
Uh-huh.
I want you to name three different kinds of cosmetics.
The kinds or the... Do you mean the market names or just...
No, just plain old cosmetics.
Oh,
what
you mean like lipstick?
That's one.
Yeah, and eyebrow pencil?
That's two.
And that new stuff they put on their legs.
Yeah, that's three. Okay. Here's your strong box, Pappy. In that, I'm going to deposit $5 in war stamps for doing that so nicely.
Right.
Now, what happens is you just ad-lib for a minute on the subject under discussion. Let's go.
Start out with that lipstick.
Hmm? All right, start out.
The gals down at the Village Barn are using it to autograph their letters to the soldiers.
How?
And like that.
$3.
And,
all right, $2 more, I won't argue.
When some gal went and autographed a white collar on me that way at one time.
And
so.
Did your wife see him?
Well, I wasn't. Didn't win any popularity contest.
All right, so $3 more. Here's your contract.
Yeah. And, lipstick, it looks a lot better on the lips than it does on the collar.
Profound, brother, profound. Yeah. A dollar.
I think it's indelible on everything but the lips.
That's indelible on me. $1 more.
All right. Eyebrow pencil, the gals, most of them, shave off their eyebrows so they can put eyebrows wherever they want it.
Is that right?
Well, they do, don't they?
That's right, $5. Okay.
Some of them come into the Village Barn look like a lot of scared cockroaches. Or
boy, you're out of business, but $3 more.
And
Oh, time's up.
$18. Oh, boy.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Now then, double or nothing.
Uh-huh.
You're ready for this double or nothing question?
Well, I ain't ready, but I'd have to take it again.
No question about that. Okay, there are two parts to this.
Yeah.
First, what is mascara?
Oh, that's the stuff they put on their eyelashes that leaks in their eyes.
I see. Now, now, let me hold that strong box. This, Pappy, is a box of mascara. I want you to illustrate how to put it on. Go right ahead. He gets it out.
Well, there's one thing I don't have to hunt around in a handbag for.
Well, I'm going to hit. I'll give you a hit. You have to spit on that little brush before you can do anything.
You're telling me? I got a wife, you know.
Hurry up.
Spit on the mask.
All right, put on. Let's see you do it. Wonderful. That's okay. You did it nicely.
Now.
Pull that up there. $36 in United States war savings stamps plus five is $41 in war stamps with the compliments of Peniman. Thank you very much, Pappy Below. Give my regards to all the yokels at the village bar.
Well, thank you to Peniman.
Okay, so long.
Walter, your next guest is national chairman of Victory Garden Harvest Shows, an organization geared to mobilize the nation's gardens to the war effort. He is also widely known as the editor of House and Gardens magazine, Mr. Richardson Wright.
Welcome to Double or Nothing, Mr. Wright. Before I give you your quiz, we'd like to talk with you a minute about the Victory Garden Harvest Shows. How did they get started, and how long have they been underway?
Walter, the Victory Garden Harvest Shows are only 3 months old. The major purpose is to help relieve the country's food problem. The organization's honorary chairman is Claude R. Wickert, Secretary of Agriculture. But it was J.W. Johnson, horticultural editor of the New York Herald Tribune, who conceived the idea.
Isn't that the same J.W. Johnson who teams up with his wife as our double-double team tonight?
Right, Aloys. Jack helped bring together a group of men and women prominent in various phases of horticulture. And as a result of their efforts, the movement has swept the country.
Say, Mr. Johnson's chest must be puffed out like a barnyard rooster.
Well, you can't blame him for crowing, Walter. He hasn't had much chance for 20 years.
Oh, henpecked, eh?
Oh, no. His wife, Jean, is one of his most ardent rooters. But, you see, Jack has been garden editor of a big newspaper for 2 decades, and the two-fisted newspaper men like to rib him about his horticultural tone.
Well, I guess those reporters covering crime stories poo-pooed Jack's hot lead on the home life of the nasturtium.
Exactly. But that's all changed now. They don't call Jack the petunia editor anymore.
Take that.
These same hard-boiled news hawks are all now Victory Garden enthusiasts. And Jack Johnson is the man of the hour around the Herald Tribune, the city room.
Now, what are your plans for the future, Mr. Ryan?
Well, our plan is to have every city, town, and hamlet hold a harvest show this fall for the benefit of the men in our armed forces and the emergency needs of their families. The expenses of staging these shows is kept to a minimum, with no prizes other than stickers or seals.
And what's the admission charge?
Not less than a quarter, not more than a dollar, and definitely no free list.
Do the Army and Navy both share?
Right. Every show is asked to make out 2 separate checks, one to Army Emergency Relief, one to the Navy Relief Society. 85% of the gross gate after federal tax has been deducted will be turned over to them.
And how much money do you expect to raise?
Our goal is $2 million and 20,000 shows.
Quite an undertaking, Mr. Wright. Do you actually believe you'll be able to make that quota?
Well, as we've already been assured of over 7,000 exhibits, and we've only just begun.
Well, now, how can our listeners, who have not already done so, how can they enlist?
All they have to do is to urge their local garden club to stage a Victory Garden Harvest Show and write to us at 230 West 41st Street, New York City, for complete details.
Your project serves as another example of how American ingenuity has volunteered for the war effort. I'm sure it's going to be a success.
I hope so, Walter, because if results are attained, Victory Garden Harvest Shows will have helped solve the nation's food problem for 1942 to a great extent.
Okay, Mr. Wright, here's a quiz harvest. I hope you'll get some harvest of this quiz crop. It's completely empty. Well, that's where the ground is before you put the seed in this family, so let's see what happens here.
All right.
This question's from Catherine L. Hunter of Memphis, Tennessee, who gets $5 for sending it in, and the Kemp Robinson Drug Company bets that he gets a special award. Being as how you are an editor, Mr. Wright, I thought I would give you something to mull over. What is Sanskrit?
Sanskrit is an ancient Indian language which is still spoken in the Punjab and by gypsies today.
Give him $5. That was elaborate, but give him $5 anyhow. All I've got down here from Webster, it's the ancient Aryan language of the Hindus of India. But are you sure that was right, what you said?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go.
I'll speak some gypsy, if you don't mind.
Go on, speak some gypsy. I dare you.
All right. Crystal Bach, Paula.
You said something nice?
Yeah.
$4.
Good luck, brother, I said to you.
Oh, $2. Sure, all right. Now let's go on the Sanskrit and so forth there.
You want more Sanskrit?
No, okay, let's talk about things.
About things, about Sanskrit?
Yeah,
or
Indian.
Gypsy,
yeah,
or what?
Yeah, anything.
Well, why don't let me talk about something I know something about?
Well, let's hear what you don't know anything about, Mr.
Well, now, for instance, it's George Washington. I don't know anything about George Washington.
I didn't ask you anything about George Washington.
Didn't?
I gave you $2 because it didn't.
Oh, well, then, can I take it on my own?
No, you take it on Sanskrit.
I'll take it on Sanskrit. That's all right. Well, Sanskrit is a very difficult language.
$1.
Well, you can't speak it, can you?
$2.
But very few people do speak it.
$3. Okay, we got that out of the way.
You got that out of the way. But if you do put a gypsy up against a man from the Punjab and each fellow speaking his own tongue, they can understand each other.
Well, I don't want to gypsy you. $5 more.
And he's not a gypsy and he can't understand what I'm talking about, you see.
I see.
But you can read it in books. Nobody, very few people read it.
$2 for those books, anyhow.
I doubt if anyone in the audience can dispute what I'm saying on
that. I can't dispute it either. Oh, the clock does blow. $21, Mr. Wright. Now then. Double or nothing.
Shoot.
Hey, he talks lingo, too, as well as Sanskrit. Where was the Rosetta Stone found?
That's that thing with the Sanskrit on it. It's the hieroglyphics of something.
Hieroglyphics, yes. It was in Mexico.
No,
it's in the country where Rommel is fighting for. Rommel's fighting
right,
for today.
Right.
Egypt.
Egypt is right. Okay, it's on. $42 plus $5. That's $47 United States War Savings Stamps compliments to Mr. Wright.
Walter, may I give this to one of my pet ideas?
Yeah, what?
China Relief.
China Relief.
Because
that's to us.
Because China is the mother of garden.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Wright. Thanks a lot.
Walter, what was that?
Oh, that's the squeal of a pig, Aloys. I'm just setting the stage for this recipe of an ancient Chinese remedy.
What is it, Walter?
Well, you take the fat of the neck of a pig prepared on the 12th lunar month, and then you bury it.
And then what did the ancients do?
Oh, they dug it up and added 14 eggs.
Whoa, that's some concoction. But you know, even today, some people still take some mighty grim-tasting old-fashioned remedies. And that's so unnecessary. When you could get Phenamint, the modern, good-tasting chewing gum laxative. The next time a laxative is needed, follow the modern Phenamint plan. Just chew Phenamint at bedtime. As with all medicines, take it only in accordance with package directions. Get a night of undisturbed rest. Start the next day feeling like a million again.
Thank you, Lois DeVille.
Walter, several weeks ago you will recall that we had as a contestant one of the editors of the Army newspaper, Yank. Tonight, we have a young sailor who holds a similar post on one of the United States Navy's popular periodicals, the Weekly Quill. Here he is, Yeoman Hal Davis.
Step up here, Blue Jacket. You have an assignment ahead of you. Mr. Wright had $47. Pappy Below got $41. Let's see if you can get $88, huh? It's Phenamint money. I don't mind. You want to do that?
Sure.
Okay, I'm on your side now. This question's from Miss Edith McMillan of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. She gets $5 for sending it in. In 20 seconds' time, I want you to give me five words ending with the syllables ation, A-T-I-O-N. Go.
Irritation, consternation, nation, ration. Sensation.
That's enough. Okay, $5. Let's go. $5 of war stamps. Now, Blue Jacket, just in case you don't remember what you said, I'll give you a couple of the words you said so you'll have something to talk about. Notably, you said ration, nation, sensation, consternation. I don't know which one you want to do or any of the four. Let's go.
Ration, that's what you have to have a card for to get sugar.
And gas.
$3 Sensation
is what?
If I won a lot of money, that would be a
sensation. $5. There's a sensation for you.
Consternation.
That'll be another.
Consternation would be trouble if I didn't win.
$2.
Agitation. That's what I am now.
$3. You got your $5.
Nation. That's us. That's the best.
$5.
Consternation, irritation, agitation. Right. How about lactation?
That's all right, $2 for that.
Sensation.
You said that, yeah.
Well, this isn't so sensational.
How about preparation?
Preparation.
That's
what
you didn't have
then, but I didn't have.
$2, okay.
Habitation. That's what
habitation
we live in.
Habitation is what we live in.
Yeah, $2. See, I'm
and,
application.
Application.
I'm going to buy it on the cash register. $2.
Right.
Whoa! Time is up.
Fine.
We almost got there. We got $25 anyhow.
Now then.
Can I go home now?
I helped just now. Double or nothing.
Double.
Here comes the double or nothing question. In 20 seconds time, give me five words ending with the syllables able, A-B-L-E. Go.
Cable, label, Mabel, table, and table.
Oh, yes! Okay!
$55 in United States War Savings Stamps, Compliments and Freedom and Sailor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Compton, I'd like to say something about the best relief there is. That's Navy relief. I'll give $10 for that.
Okay, we'll see where it goes there. Thank you very much, Sailor. Thanks a lot.
Now then, Walter Compton, here's a double-double team that was united by a justice of the peace long before our show took the air. The husband is J.W. Johnston, horticulture editor of the New York Herald Tribune and managing director of Victory Garden Harbor Show.
And I'll bet his partner's name is Mrs. Johnston.
Sheer genius, Walter, sheer genius.
That's me,
but what you didn't know is that Gene Johnston is also a garden expert in her own right and horticulture editor of the Philadelphia Record.
Well, step right up to the microphone, friend. A little strong box for both of you. So you are the Petunia editor. Well, well, well.
I'm it, Walter.
Man, look at him.
You look more like a dad.
He looks more like a dad to you, huh?
Slightly wilted.
Well, here we go. You understand you're our double-double tonight. Now, we've got the $55 winner, 47 and 41. It seems to me, with two people doing this, and particularly a lady now, and women always talk much faster than men. What do you think, Mr. Johnston? Is that right?
Give them half a chance.
Oh, if you give them half a chance. Don't look at her like that. You'll hear about that. Here's a question. Comes from Sergeant J.T. Brady, who's in the camp out in California. He gets $5 for sending it in. How is the following military rank shown on the wearer's uniform? A corporal and a sergeant.
Well, a corporal has chevrons.
Well, how many?
Three.
You, what do you think, Miss Ellis?
Corporal has two, sergeant three.
Thank you for saving that for me. All right. I always give this money to the lady, Mrs. Johnson, but the Petunia editor gets it. He gave it right. $5. Okay, let's go.
Talk about corporal, sergeant, or
army. Anything.
Well, United States Army, I think, is the greatest training camp in the world.
$3.
Well, I think we have more soldiers in foreign ports than we've ever had before. As a matter of fact, aren't our soldiers responsible for that awful song, the Doughboys, the one of Irish horses?
That's not an awful song. It's a very nice song. Don't get me in trouble
there.
$4. Okay.
General MacArthur was made a major at the age of 38. Or rather, a general at the age of 38.
$4.
Don't forget kitchen police.
Well, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking of a higher rank. Ulysses S. Grant was a great general.
General.
Also
$4 more for general. That's 4 stars. Get off of these. Well, there's only 4 generals. I can't lose much. Go on.
Well, there's only 4 today, isn't there? Pershing.
Well, here's $4 for General Pershing.
Can I say something about a private?
That'll be fine, I can't
because I...
Go on.
I think that's probably where I'll wind up when I go in.
I should give you $5 for that. Okay.
It'll be all right, too.
After looking
at the boys that are privates, if I look that good, I'll be satisfied.
All right, $5 for the boys that are privates now.
You said something about kitchen police.
Yes, that's what I'm going to try to duck.
Well, you've been ducking it for a great many years.
He's been ducking it for how long?
Great many years.
Too long for me.
$3. You're a long-suffering woman, Mrs. Johnson. I can see that. Whoa, time's up. Now, I got entirely too generous about these generals. That's all there is to it.
$34. How much do you think a general's worth, Mr. Johnson?
$4, 4 stars. $34. Boy, I'm really going to look into this double or nothing question. Now, then.
Uh-oh.
Double or nothing on the 34. How could you identify a lieutenant colonel and a colonel by military rank shown on the plate?
Colonel has to... an eagle.
They look like they're ready to fly.
A colonel has an eagle, is right, and a lieutenant colonel
has a silver leaf.
That's right on his shoulder. Okay.
My goodness, let's see how I'm going to split this up. I'll put half in your box, Miss Johnson, half yours. That's $68.73. The United States War Savings stamp for the compliments to Phenomen.
Well,
all on those generals, too.
Thanks very much, but after all, I have talked great deal about generals, but I would like to give this to the Navy relief.
Your share? All right, I'll see that it goes, sir. And, Waller, I would like to give mine to Army Emergency Relief.
Okay, I'll see the short there, goes to Army Emergency Relief.
It's split in half.
Say, Walter, here's a telegram from our star tenor, Frank Forrest.
Telling us about the swell vacation he's having in California, I suppose.
No, yeah. No. He's turned sloganeer. He says, I'll wrap a Jap with my old scrap. Idle scrap may lose this scrap. Everybody out here enthusiastically working on the scrap salvage drive.
Yes, so that's a job we all want to help on. The uses of scrap are without limit. We need scrap iron to build tanks and destroyers. Scrap copper for bombs and shells. Scrap rugs for sandbags and insulators. And scrap rubber for tires.
Walter, I'm sure all Americans will roll up their sleeves and join the scrap salvage job.
I hope so, Lloyd, but remember, collecting it isn't enough. We've got to get it into the hands of junk dealers who will turn it over to the yawning jaws of America's impatient production machine. So go up to that attic or down to that cellar tonight and join the salvage parade.
Right. Walter, next in line is an attractive young lady employed as a comparison shopper by R.H. Macy's department store. Here is Miss Ann Malik of New York.
Hiya, Miss Malik.
How are you? Oh,
gee, Miss Malik, it's nice to have you up here. It certainly is.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
No, don't be scared. Everything is going to be all right.
You just hold my hand.
I'll just hold your hand. Sure, I'll hold your hand, Miss Malik. It's all right.
Thank you.
The question Brusiloff wants, you hold Brusiloff's hand. I'll ask you the question. Comes from Edward R. Cook of Saratoga Springs, New York. He gets $5 for sending it in. I'll hold it a while now. Among the leaders of the United States... She's shaking. I'm not kidding. Among the leaders of the United Nations, who is a cigar smoker and who is a cigarette smoker?
Winston Churchill.
Smoked what?
Oh, cigars.
And what is the...
Delano Roosevelt. Cigarette.
$5. You did that so much, so scary, that Brusiloff thought it was the second question. He thought it was the dollar of nothing. Okay, go.
I'm
not to hold your hand through this. Come give me a signal.
Well, let me see now. Roosevelt has four sons.
$4.
And his one daughter.
$1.
And he lives in the White House. And Winston Churchill has a grandson, and he wears derby.
But surely here, sweet. The grandson wears derby?
No, his grandson, and he wears derby.
Oh, well, all right. $3 for the derby and $3 for the grandson.
And he's been to America just recently, and...
Twice, $2 each trip.
Yeah. And Roosevelt...
That's cheap transportation.
Roosevelt lives on Pennsylvania Avenue. And,
You're just... All right, $2, $1,600 before you ring that one in on me, anyhow.
And, Churchill is cute and pudgy.
How do you like that? He's cute and pudgy. $4, okay.
And,
He lives at number 10
down east. That's right. And, Roosevelt was my great admirer.
Whoa. $26. Now then... Double or nothing.
Double.
That's all, is it? No kidding, it's not that bad. Hold yourself, God. Look, it's not that bad. Brusiloff, leave her alone now. $26. Among the leaders of the United Nations, who is a pipe smoker?
Stalin.
Stalin is right! It's okay. $57 in your... Hey, Stalin! Go away,
too.
$5 for the Red Cross. Okay, thank you very much. $57 in all.
Ah, it's summer. The birds are singing in the trees. The sky is blue. The flowers dance in the wind. And all the world is glad.
Hey, listen, brother. Back up a minute. What do you mean the world is glad and gay? Where do you get that stuff about the boys and the posies? As far as I'm concerned, the boys all sing sour and all the flowers is poison ivy, see? And as for you, And unlike your looks, and I'm just about set to hand you a good swift poke right...
My, oh, my, what an unpleasant gentleman would seem to have tangled up in our microphone. But after all, maybe he's only saying out loud what almost all of us have felt from time to time. So perhaps, sir, you'll forgive my hint that maybe what is needed is phenomen. And that's a thought for our listeners, too. When a cross and irritable feeling warns you a laxative is needed, try phenomen. Phenomen, spelled F-E-E-N-A-M-I-N-T, tastes like your favorite chewing gum. But more important still, it's gentle, it's dependable. So next time, do as millions do, take phenomen.
Thank you, Aloys Davila.
Say, Waller.
Yeah, that was
I'd like to introduce our guest star tonight.
All right.
Because he's the man who gave me my first job.
Okay.
He is one of the country's best-known dance band leaders. His smooth rhythmic styles are just as popular with Newport's blue-blooded Hepcats as they are with Broadway's red-blooded variety.
And you might add, Nat, that our guest is also at home at the White House, where he usually conducts the orchestra for many official presidential functions.
Well, then, here he is, Meyer Davis.
Hi, Mr. Davis. There's your strong box. I really should shoot you.
Why?
He gave Bruce Loffitt's first job.
Look where he is now.
That's what I'm worried about.
You don't know how I meant that.
All right. Here's your question. Comes from Miss Tilly LaSure of Hutchinson, Kansas. She gets five hooks for sending it in. I want you to give me three slang names for horses.
Nags.
A nag is one.
Plug.
A plug is two.
And
this is where I got him.
Would you accept... Hay eater? Hay burner?
Hey, I'll take hay burner. It sounds all right. $5. Let's go.
Thank you, sir. Well, thanks for the plug you gave me tonight.
$2.
Horses know their oats.
Well, he's coy, isn't he? $3.
Yeah. Horses are a stable means of transportation. How about the wise guys who, the turn of the century said the automobile wasn't here to stay?
Yeah, why'd you get a horse? Yeah, $5.
Buffalo Bill had a horse.
$2. Go to the Pony Express.
Paul Revere had a horse.
Paul Revere had a horse. $3.
I hope I don't get horse talking.
$2, okay. There's up for $5,
Matt. All, Man of War is the greatest horse alive.
$5 for Man of War.
And I bet on a horse yesterday, $5, and I found out afterwards I could have bought him for $3.
I'll give you the $3. Oh, time's up. $31, Meyer Davis.
Yes.
Now then, double or nothing. What horse won last year's Kentucky Derby? Galahadian, Whirlaway, or War Admiral? Quiet, please, from the audience. Last year's.
Oh, you're trying to fool me now. Shutout won it. None of those.
No, that's Shutout. That's this year's. Last year's.
Oh, last year. Oh, I should have known. I won a bet on him.
Whirlaway. Whirlaway's right. Okay. $62 plus $5 is $67 United States War Savings Stamps. Thank you, Meyer Davis. Thanks a lot. So, ladies and gentlemen, here goes another Double or Nothing broadcast. And next week, we'll salute the American Theater Wing War Services. Such celebrities as Helen Mankin, Larry Adler, Brock Pemberton, Lucy Monroe, and Mrs. Douglas Fairbanks Sr. will join us in this tribute. Now then, this is Walter Compton speaking from New York, saying goodbye to you.
Has working without let-up in this heat got your nerves somewhat like this? And your stomach just as jittery? Well, there's a new chewing gum preparation that brings extra fast relief from excess stomach acidity. The name is Chew, C-H-O-O-Z. Chew chews wherever you are, whenever acid indigestion strikes. You never even taste the three medicines that bring you such quick relief. And furthermore, the very act of chewing chews helps relieve nervous tension. Chews is not a laxative, contains no soda or sedative, is not habit-forming. Get Chews now for extra fast relief from acid indigestion. Only 10 cents. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.